This is the sixth tape on the Healing Gate. The name of this message is the Resurrection Healing Gate. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn what it is to be resurrected. Before I go into the message, I want to testify something. I think the last 2 weeks, financially and sickness, the devil began to war with me with being sick and being attacking my finances. And then Brian, he dreamed that I was in a coffin, that they said I died. And so I began to seek God, what God was saying. And I God was dealing with me about certain people to get away from. And he was telling me, he said, don't go into this city. I was supposed to go to this one city in Saudi Arabia. God said, no, go wait. And sometimes when you need something really bad, your emotions will begin to talk to you. Loneliness, financial drought will begin to war with your emotions. So God began to deal with me. He said, son, he said, if you go there, you will die. He said, because I didn't tell you to go there. He said, I told you to do this. Say, do this. Now, God told me to build churches. I said, how, God, am I going to do this with no money? He said, because the money is not coming because you're trying to do it. He said, I didn't tell you to do that. He said, I told you to do this. Say, do this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, nobody knew what I was really going through. So the Lord said, go and lay down. Don't get out of bed. Just pray. He said, I'm going to talk to you. So help me, God. I didn't even know where neighbors down here praying. It's a blessing to have a sister that prays. Many of you pray for me. I think this is the greatest hour of my life. I will either sabotage it, destroy it, or I will resurrect it. And hopefully, I will resurrect it. Amen? It was really amazing. Judy and I were doing some things, and we didn't even know what we was doing. And God began to show me. He said, son, you know, I want you to experience the vampires of the world so you can teach my people how to live in the presence of my resurrection power. You see, if you play with the world, it will drain you. And I'm going to tell you something. If it's not for the prayers of the righteous, you will die and go to hell. The devil will take you out. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. He died to kill some things that were controlling us. He was buried to bury some things that were controlling us. And he rose from the dead. And my son and I were talking, and it was very beautiful because God began to say these words to me. He said, there is a gatekeeper. He said, I am the gatekeeper. He said, these are the gate keys. My words were the keys of healing. And so then as I was praying, he began to show me all these people. When he spoke to them, his words were literally keys to make people, if they were dead, they would come out of tombs. If they were crippled, they would get up and walk. If they were sick with fever, they would just be healed and start cooking him something to eat. You know, if they were full of demons, the demons would just go out and the people would go back in their right mind. I said, well, why? If the preachers of this hour, why are the people out of their minds? Why are the church members still out of their minds? He said, because first it must start at the head. He said, if you out of your mind, everybody will be out of their mind. I said, Lord. I said, this is a great responsibility. You mean I got to keep a right mind? Everybody, he said, well, he said, I had to. Say, Jesus, you had to. He was saying to me, he said, do you remember when I sweat blood and was praying?
Yeah.
He said, I was praying for something. He said, I didn't tell to this day nobody what I was praying for. He said, but they knew I prayed so hard, I sweat blood. I don't know if you ever prayed that hard where you sweat blood. He said, but we need to be like me. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. There's going to be some moments in your life you're going to have to pray until you sweat blood. Because it's going to feel like you're ready to die. You're ready to give up. You're ready to throw in the towel. The man at the pool, Jesus started talking to his feet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was in a meeting this week, and it was powerful. And so God began to talk to me about the feet. Did you know that your feet is connected to your heart? Your feet is connected to your lungs. Your feet is connected to your brain. How many people have worked real hard and their feet is tired? They want to put the feet up and soak the feet. How many people like to soak the feet? Well, God began to show me something this morning. Do you know that Jesus had to wash 12 stinky fishermen's feet? I want to talk about the feet for a minute. I ain't getting off track. I'm going to tell you how I'm going right back. Watch this. We got to have a foot washing off in here one day. Come on, Holy Ghost. Amen. So wash your feet before you come. Because I don't want to smell no stinky feet. I'll be like that. All right, Lord. But the Lord told me, he said, we got to wash one another's feet. You want to keep some folks out of strife? Make them wash one another's feet. And pray for 1 hour. You can't just wash the feet. Talk about, okay, I'm finished. No, you got to wash them feet. You got to get the toenail clipper. You got to get the polish out. You got to, come on, help me, y'all. You got to get some Epsom salt. I want you to soak them. And just sit there and look at that person's feet. And massage them. And pray for them. And bless them. Now, if you start doing that, you ain't going to talk about the person no more. Because the smell of their feet is going to be on your hands. And every time you think about that person, go like this. Go do it again. Come on. Smell your enemy's feet. Praise you, Jesus. You know who is funny? The words of wisdom came out of Gloria's mouth this morning. She said, you know why Cain killed Abel? I got them both reading the Bible. I got this tutor reading the Bible to them. And I said, no, Gloria. I'm thinking, you know, Gloria, she's going to talk off something off the side of her neck. But Gloria said, because the reason why God got mad at Cain is because he smelt the blood of Abel. And I look back, almost wrecked the car. I'm thinking, man, that's powerful. And you know what God said to me? Every time you say Jesus, God smells your words. Because the name of Jesus represents the blood he shed out of his feet, out of his hands. Jesus shed some blood for you. And blood has a voice. And blood also has a smell. So I want to talk about that this morning. We're going to go back to the feet and the hands. But I just want to give you something to think about. All right? Go with me to Psalms 66, verse 9. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this morning I will share with you what resurrection means. Say resurrection. Go there with me in the name of Jesus to Psalms 66, verse 9. Now, Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for us to understand why Jesus died. Psalm 66, verse 9, it says, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to underline that in your Bible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said in the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So as we read the word, we're reading the word to find scriptures to live. Say live. Live. Now, ladies and gentlemen, death is a demon. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come, listen, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So we say, why do kids are born with leukemia, AIDS? Did God do that? No. The devil did it. Where did AIDS come from? From sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? So we know who brought eternal life. But there is a force in eternal life. Say it. There's a force in eternal life. So the more we meditate on eternal life, well, our words begin to force us to walk into a supernatural destiny in Christ. But when we curse people, when we're angry, when we're bitter, it causes us to kill our own selves. Because the Bible said life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those that speak it shall eat the fruit thereof. Why? Because God is watching over his word to perform it. And you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when you speak something now, God's watching over it to perform it. So watch what you say from this day forward. Because you got the power to resurrect. Say, I have the power to resurrect. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the power to raise the dead. You have the power to raise your finances. Start speaking. If your body is sick right now, start speaking to your body. Foot, I command you to be perfect, because Jesus lives in that foot. Amen. And Jesus is perfect. If you've got chest pains, start speaking to your heart. Heart, I command you to become like a baby's heart. Yeah. Amen. Because your words and God, because God is a creative God, and your words have creative power. Yeah. And God will just go in there and create a new heart. He even says, it created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. His word says he can do it. Uh-oh. You okay? Sister looking at me like, wow. Is that what that means? You know, it's really amazing. A lot of women, they think when they get a certain age, they're going to start aging. That's a lie. Where is that in the Bible? Do you know that you can stay young looking? I know preachers that are 70, 80 years old still looking young. It's the word that keeps you young. Worry will make you look old. Stop worrying. What you worrying about? Jesus already destroyed worry. Say, Jesus destroyed worry. Do you know that death, hell, and the grave, one of them, if you look up those words, worry is a definition of one of those words. Jesus superseded death, hell, and the grave. Now, ladies and gentlemen, go to Psalms 8:6. I'm trying to build a foundation for resurrection. Because before you can believe it, you will have to have faith in it. Say faith in it. You know, before you can marry somebody, you got to trust them. Amen. You ain't going to marry somebody you don't trust unless you're stupid. Hey, can I get a witness? Hey, boy, that hit home, didn't it? You ain't gonna give nobody your checkbook you don't trust. How many people will do that? Nobody. How many people you gave your, huh? That's stupid. I asked God, I said, why, Lord, and they're not supporting ministry? He said, some of them are. He said, but some of them don't trust you yet. You got to teach them to trust you. I said, okay, Lord, is that easy? He said, that's easy. It is that easy. If you want anything in life, it comes from trust. Amen. Everything you want in a life Put trust in it. And I guarantee you it'll come to you just like that. If you really trust what you pray, you're going to get your prayers answered. Do you really believe what you pray for is going to come to pass? I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I destroy death, hell, and the grave. I destroy murder. I destroy any hatred spirit, jealousy spirits. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and I curse the root of you. I curse false religions, Islam, demonic powers of hell. I bind you and cast you out in the name of Jesus. Now look what the word of God said in Psalms. Psalms 8:6. Listen. Thou madest him to have dominion. What? Over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put what? No, only 30%. Only over the Catholics. Only over Muslims. Only over debt. Only over fear. Only over murder. Only over money. Only over divorce. Only over sickness. Only over pain. Only over worry. Only over fear. All glory. Only over blindness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I got to read that again. Thou madest him to have what?
Dominion.
The word dominion in the Arabic, Hebrew, and the Greek, and in English definition, is to mean to have all power. Like the President of the United States. You know the President of the United States is the most feared man in the world. You know why? Because he controls the United Nations. He controls all the most powerful nuclear warheads, the most powerful ships, the most powerful army, the most powerful jets. He has the most, he has the best fighter jets in the world. And Jesus has the most powerful angels in the world. The devil even tested him. Do you know the devil even got the third of God's angels to come against him? And God's other three-fourths whooped their natural behinds and kicked their natural behinds out of heaven and said, it's time to go down. We're going to see who got the real deal. Oh, listen, God is a God of war. If the Muslims think the Christians will not war, we will fight. If the Muslims think, and I don't care how many they got billions, we still will win. Hallelujah. Gideon came against 25,000 was coming against him. And God said only take 300. You only need 300 to whoop them. They ain't got no covenant. They ain't got no power. That's why they had to go blow themselves up. Glory to God. I can send a death angel. You know, witches have sent death angels to kill me. But it don't work. Because I got the blood. The blood of Jesus. Say the blood of Jesus. See, the death angel will come. The death angel is coming. When you got the blood. How many people didn't show up at the One World Trade Center? Some people showed up to work. They just marched to death. Some people said, oh, I ain't going to work today. Some people, the jet airplane hit the building and they said, in Jesus' name, I'm not dying today. You can stop death. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm not dying today. I'm living. I'm fulfilling my destiny. I don't care if you shoot me 20 times, I'm still not going to die. In fact, the bullets ain't going to even hurt me. In fact, the bullets won't even touch me. If the guy in Matrix could do it, at first he didn't even know he was the one. Every time he got into a fight, he got his behind whooped. But pretty soon he started moving quicker. See, the more you practice, the quicker you move. And pretty soon he said, wow, the enemy can't even touch me no more. Oh, the enemy was still swinging, but he was still moving. And pretty soon he started moving with lightning speed. And pretty soon the enemy was trying to hit him, and the enemy couldn't even see him. And then at the end, he swallowed up the enemy and burst the enemy with light. Light can always burst darkness. How much light is really living in you? The Bible said, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The word life in the Greek means light. It means dunamis. It means, he said, I am the light of the world. He said, in the beginning was the light. The light. He said he had a greater light and a lesser light. You see, we have to start operating on light, not darkness. See, that's why we're so afraid, because we operate in darkness. See, when you operate in the light, you're not afraid anymore. Because you start saying, I'm the chosen one. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. This man came in this place. It was really amazing. My kids were there, my nephew. And the Holy Ghost told me that morning, he said, now I will prove this to you. This man been telling me this church was up the street for a year and a half and I wouldn't go get it. I said, no, I got to build the church here. So I drove past the church several times. I didn't go in there because I was too busy. It took me 1 hour to get the keys. 1 hour. The man wasn't even there. The man next door gave me the keys. And at the end of the day, the little kids, they wanted to go see the building. So I took them up there. And my son had already said that somebody said I was in this coffin. So I pay attention when Brian talks. And then this guy came in, called me a false prophet, called me a devil, said I ain't no preacher. I rebuked the devil in him. I walked around. It was really amazing. I was so mad I wanted to knock him out. So I began to walk. Because every time I get mad, I got to walk. See, I'm a warrior. I got to walk. Because if I don't walk, I'm going to hit you. I ain't lying. So I started walking. I put my hands in my pocket so I wouldn't pop him. And he kept coming real close to me, too. I said, now, Lord, am I going to have to knock this boy out? And the Lord said, Brian, this is a demon talking to you. Now, he was a Christian, but this was a demon talking. He said, you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. And he said, I got more power than you. I got more churches. I got more. And I stood like this, and I looked at him. And the Lord said to me, you are the chosen one. And that's why the devil is trying to tell you you're not. See, anytime the devil come tell you something, he's afraid of you. The devil's afraid of me. The devil is afraid of me. Watch what happens. If my words, if I'm a false prophet, the future will tell. But if I'm the chosen one, it's going to tell. And everybody going to see it. See, when you are chosen by God, death, principalities, governments, nobody can stop you. They took Joseph and his own brothers, sold him into prison, and he became the head of the whole government. And one day they had to come and they had to bow to him. And he had all the food in the famine. They threw Daniel in a lion's den. And the lion's mouths were shut. The lions were hungry, but they couldn't eat him. The angels of God had came. See, who are your friends? Is it the world or is it angels? You ain't got nothing to fear if you got angels around you. Who are your friends? God said that to me this morning. He said, death, Brian, is under your feet. He said, go to the hospital, start raising some dead folks. He said, if you want to see what's in you, start going to the hospital. I started dreaming last night. I went into the hospital. Samuel was getting ready to die last week, so help me God. And I laid my body on his body, and I said, you're going to live in the name of Jesus. And they took him to the hospital. He was like a little dead boy. I said, you're going to live. And all of a sudden, God said to me, when you going to go to them hospitals and start raising them sick folk out of the hospital? You ever want to show the devil who you are? Go to the hospital and start praying for folks. Go to the prison and start preaching to folks in jail. You want to see how much power you have in you? Go to the graveyard. Go to the morgue and start praying for dead bodies. They'll think you crazy, but if a couple of them bad boys get up, everybody gonna run up out of there. But you'll know you ain't no regular person. You say, oh, something's different about me. I dare you to go to the hospital and start praying in Jesus' name. I dare you to go to the mental institution and start praying for mental people in the name of Jesus. And folks start getting in their right mind, and you be like, wow, why did I do that? Let me try that again. Say, let me try that again. Put your hand out like that. Why are you afraid to use your hands? You know, I used to be a fighter. I used to be so high on dope, I used to love to fight. I want to kill people. And when I became a Christian, I still wanted to kill people. I'm serious. And the Lord said, that old man died. Your hands are to pray for people now. Your hands are to heal people. And I looked at my hands, I said, really? Do you know who you are? Do you know what your body is for? The devil is under your feet. You have no worries. You are the temple of the Most High God. You are so full of royalty and glory and power and splendor. If you only would be still and meditate on who you are in Christ, glory to God, every door that you've been praying for would open. Because there's power in meditation in Christ. Most of you don't even spend time meditating in Christ. The first thing that Peter did after he preached on the day of Pentecost, he began to create a structure for his life that every day at a certain time he would go to the house of God and, come on, y'all, help me. Pray. Say it again. He would go to the house of God and pray. Say it again. Pray. He would go to the house of God and
pray.
Okay. Now, when he would pray, watch this. When he would pray, the Bible says he went to this church one day, and the Bible says he saw a crippled man. Say, saw a crippled man. He saw a crippled man laying down at the thing begging for money. Now, when you are a cripple, your feet don't work. Say, my feet don't work. When you are a cripple, your feet do not work. So immediately, Peter spoke to his feet. Say, speak to my feet, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you are where you are because of your feet. Not your brains, not your heart, your feet took you there. Tell me I'm lying. Say, you're lying, preacher.
You're lying.
It's okay. Let me prove I ain't lying. Let me go back to the word. Go to Proverbs 1:16. I love that sister right there. She gonna prove, she gonna test me. I like people to test me. That's how you learn. Proverbs 1:16 says, my son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot, refrain thy nose, refrain thine eyes. Don't say that. Refrain thy what? From their what? Okay. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Go to Proverbs 7:11. Proverbs 7:11. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot.
All right.
And subtle of heart, she is loud and stubborn. Her what? Her toes. Her eyeballs, her ears, her feet. abide not in her own house. Now, she had a husband. She didn't use a wheelchair. She didn't use a horse. Her feet. Come on now with me. Go to Matthew 28:9. Now, let's just glean through the Bible and let's build this foundation where our feet are supposed to take us, where our feet are supposed to have us. Our feet are supposed to have us in dominion and in power and glory. The Bible said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because we're going to walk in faith and victory. Matthew 28:9 says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have to worship Jesus. Number one, at his feet. A lot of you don't even go down at your bed and kneel at your bed like this and get on you every night. God, get on my knees. You must get on your knees and bow to Jesus. Because Jesus is Lord. Bow. Get on your knees every night. Humble yourself. Amen. Humble yourself to God. Go there with me to Mark 5:22. Mark 5:22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at point of death. The first thing he did was bow to Jesus' feet. He reverenced him that he was what? Lord, King, Master over him. He humbled himself. When you bow to a man, you're saying, you're a God over me. Hello? Say it, you're God over me. He is God over us. We must bow to him. Watch what happens after Jairus bowed to him. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. The point of death. Now, this was a serious matter. This wasn't a headache. This wasn't somebody to stump their feet. This was death he was dealing with. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. So already this man knew, because he had already heard about the miracles Jesus was doing, he already knew if Jesus could visit his house, the little girl would what? She would what?
Live.
Say it again, what?
Live.
She wouldn't die, right? So what is the opposite of death?
Life.
What is the opposite of life? So when you see the presence of death, death is poverty, death is sickness, death is headaches. You know, they did a study that 70% of people die of headaches. Did you know that? Do you know that headaches is one of the top 10 killers of man? Headaches, a headache, migraine headache. I was like, wow, and a headache nothing but a demon. Cast it out.
Amen.
But people don't know that headaches is demons. That's right. Do you know migraine headaches are demons? And you get a migraine headache, command that demon to come out of your head in the name of Jesus. Say, you're on holy ground. Say it,
I'm on holy ground.
Tell the devil he's on holy ground. Devil, you are on holy ground. Glory to God. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, listen, so now Jesus is getting ready to go deal with death, the demon of death. Remember, the demon of death came from God when he sent it to the Pharaoh, and the demon of death wiped out all the little children. But when they put the blood on their doorposts, the demon of death passed by them. It didn't touch them. It couldn't affect them. It couldn't help them. It couldn't even talk to them. It couldn't even go in their house. It just went on by. He just said, can't go there. Just walked on by. He said, let me find somebody. Got no blood. Oh, nope. Can't get you. Just kept on walking. You see, the problem is we letting death come on in our house. Hey, you need some pajamas? Would you like some coffee and ice cream? What would you like for your dinner dessert? That's what we're doing with death. We're just letting him come on in. Because we don't know what death is. But when you find out what life and death is, then the old devil can't lie to you no more. Say, devil, you can't lie to me no more. I know I went off camera for a reason, because I want you to know that death was coming, see? You got to play this thing out. So I sit down and read the Bible, and I start imagining it. I say, Now watch. Here's Jesus going to deal with the demon of death. Watch what happens. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had, that means she kept bleeding, bleeding, bleeding. There was a lady that came to the church around a year ago. She kept bleeding. She couldn't stop. I laid hands on her right here. The power of God hit that woman. She stopped bleeding. She's been healed ever since. Glory to God. Watch this. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus, came in the presence behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And the Bible said, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Say dried up. Ladies and gentlemen, your situation now is dried up by the word. Amen. Glory to God. And she felt her body that she was healed of the plague. So what was bleeding to death mean? It was a plague. The demons have put a plague on you. See, demons come in your body and they create disease. They have the power to create laws. Disease is a law. It's called plagues. Sickness and disease. But I curse disease in your body right now. In the name of Jesus, I release virtue to heal you right now. I release the law of virtue to heal your body and release you from the law of disease in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says right here, and Jesus immediately, knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched me? Say, who touched me? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, there are going to be people in your life. They're going to be praying, and they can pull stuff out of you without you even giving it to them. That's called faith. Faith is powerful. Faith is powerful. God showed me that this morning. I don't want to get a... I'm going to go back there tonight. Y'all don't want to miss tonight. Luke 1:7. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren and that both were now well stricken in years. So they were old and the woman could not have babies. And it came to pass that while he exalted the priest's office before God and other order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So this was not a regular man. This was a preacher. Say preacher. There's a lot of preachers who have doubt and big mouths. And they wonder why God ain't blessing them. Watch what happens. And there appeared unto him an angel. Say an angel. Of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Say fear not. Zacharias, for the prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Who a son? Thee a son. He didn't say he was giving the son to Elizabeth. He said he was giving it to Zechariah. Now watch. Here goes God telling him he's going to give him a blessing. And he, watch what this big mouth preacher says. Watch. And this wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. Now here it goes. Now he's saying the son will give him joy and gladness. Watch what he does. And many shall rejoice at his birth. So everybody else going to be happy about him too. Watch this. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Listen, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am old man. Say, old man. Old man. Said, I'm an old man. Said, I'm an old man. Now here he's talking to the angel of God that God has sent to talk to him. He said, I'm an old man. Watch this. And my wife, well, then he said, I'm old and my wife is old. Now he's looking at his old wife. Good night. You see, that's what's wrong with us. We could be looking at somebody else. Watch this. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. Now, first of all, here goes Gabriel. That's got, now Gabriel, for Gabriel didn't go to Zechariah and tell him his name. Now Gabriel said, he got serious with Zechariah. He said, I'm Gabriel. That's why the Lord said, tell them you are an apostle. People fear that when I say that. People on television, they fear me. How dare this guy call himself an apostle? Who made you an apostle? People call here on the phone, what does apostle mean? They fear that name because they know the glory of the Lord backs up the apostles. And I'm so stupid. I keep looking in the natural. And I'm an apostle. The Lord said, you better find out who you are. You better start reading your Bible like you're an apostle. What's wrong with you being afraid and you can raise the dead? I gave you power to raise the dead, to call money from heaven, and you worry. What's wrong with you, Zechariah? Watch what happened. Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wealth was stricken. And the angel of the Lord said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. He wasn't some regular angel. Say regular angel. He was a special angel. One that stands in the presence. So you standing in the presence of God, you getting orders from God daily. And you God's homeboy. You just kicking it with God on a daily basis. Glory to God. I want to be like that. Watch what happens. I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. He didn't say no bad news. He said the glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. Now, he had to make him dumb because he had a big mouth. You wonder why you're dumb. You wonder why you're losing your mind. Have God told you something and you speaking against it because you don't see it? I start doing that. Pretty soon I became dumb. I said, Lord, why am I getting dumber? Just last week I had power in the Lord. What happened to me, Lord? The Lord said, read Luke chapter 1. I said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, say, Lord, forgive me. God is talking to us this morning. Don't worry about the kids. Let them play. It's a blessing to hear the joy and the laughter of children. You know, there was a time I used to get so aggravated by my kids because they were laughing because I was so tormented. Then when my kids got taken away from me, I sat in my room one night all alone in my house. And I began to imagine the laughter of my children. And I saw that it was the most beautiful thing that I could hear. And so when I got around my children again, it didn't even bother me. The laughter of my children is the most beautiful. Your laughter is the most beautiful thing I could hear. Your laughter, your joy, and you're walking in victory and you're happy. That pleases me. Go to Luke chapter 7. Say the Lord rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. Now all through chapter 7, this woman is crying. Now when he had ended all these sayings, the audience of the people entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him, and when he was now see, right there, that's, if you help the church, if you help me build this church, when you are sick, Jesus will visit you. Here it goes right here. You see, that makes you worthy. Do you know when you help God build a church where people can get healed and delivered? God will visit you. I don't care if you're strung out on drugs, adultery, fornication. God will deliver you. Because God does not remember your sin. God remembers your works of love. God remembers when you sow into his kingdom. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thou myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in thy word, and my servant shall be healed. Ladies and gentlemen, be careful what you say. Your words are powerful. Stop living by your emotions. So many times we get emotional and we go off on people. We go off on ourselves. We get frustrated and we go drink and we go get drugs and we go get sex and we get all these things because our emotions are in control. Our soul is just went nuts. And we need to get back and fast and pray to bring our body under subjection. You know, it's beautiful. I can't see outside in this new church. All it is stained glass windows. Wherefore, neither that I am myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in thy word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. Ladies and gentlemen, here goes a man under authority. See, let me tell you something. The Bible says a rebellious child will eventually die because they don't obey their parents. It's very important, if you are rebelling against your parents, to repent. If you're not in covenant or in agreement with your parents, call your parents and tell them you're sorry. Humble yourself. Because rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And a lot of children die early because they don't obey their parents. And you're not under authority. Listen, go and he goeth, and to another come and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it. I don't know if you've ever been put in a position of authority of a manager, vice president, president, or whatever you've been. You have the authority to tell people what to do, and they have to do it because they're under your authority. Maybe you're paying them. See, that's how powerful words are. Amen? Words are powerful. When Jesus heard these things, listen, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. So his words were faith. Now he said, I have not heard great sayings, but he said those sayings were faith. Trust. He understood what was trust. He understood what was faith. See, a lot of people think faith is coming to church. Faith is not coming to church, friends. There's a lot of people that go to church that are stupid. Just dumb. What am I going to do tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? We can read the Bible one day, wake up the next day, just dumb, goofy. Lord, can't pay my rent. The fear will literally steal all the word that you just read. Because it wasn't planted with the right motive. When you read the Bible, your motive's got to be right. You better go to God and pray before you read the Bible so you can clean out all the confusion inside of you. So when you read the Bible, it's planted on good ground. And the good ground will make it bear fruit because it's planted with the right motive and with the right intention. If you got a bunch of stuff on your mind and you read the Bible, it will not work. Because God does not work in confusion. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And who can know it? If I was here, I would not receive nothing from God. Nothing. Say nothing. We are not after nothing. We after something. I mean, an old song said, something from something, leave something. You better have something to believe in me. I don't know if he was reading the Bible, but that was a good song. Shoot. What's my name? When Jesus heard these sayings, he marveled at this because he knew something from something did something. And nothing from nothing leaves. Hallelujah. He said, I ain't found so great a faith in all Israel. Glory to God. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass that day after, and he went into the city, and many disciples were with him and much people. And when he had came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a area in your heart, I can prove it. There is an area in your heart called compassion. Let your children get sick. Let your mama, dad, let somebody get sick that you love. Let me go there. Have you ever loved somebody and they got sick? sick unto death. You'll try anything to get them well. That's called compassion. That's the area you that God wants you to activate and live out of. That's the area of you who will do anything to win, to get results. And you'll sit up for hours in the hospital if your children are sick. And you won't even complain. In fact, you'll fight with the people to get them seen quicker. Because you want results. Say results. Hallelujah. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Say weep not. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will learn this, you can move mountains. We've been crying too much and praying less and reading our Bible less. But it's time to meditate on Jesus and move these mountains. And it's time to meditate on Jesus and win the world to Jesus. You know, God said to me, he's coming back. He told me that this morning to tell you. You know, Israel is in a war. There's war everywhere right now. A lot of people don't know what to do. They don't know what to think about. They're looking for answers. Well, the answer is in Jesus Christ. You know, I could tell you all these wonderful things. I just want to go up over a couple of things. And I'm just showing you that all of these things were under Jesus' feet. And because you are the body of Christ, they are under your feet. Let me read just a couple more things to you. Go with me to Matthew 22:23. And I want to talk to you about the resurrection. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how did these things get under Jesus' feet? Because Jesus was the resurrection. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you became the resurrection. If you go work for IBM, you get an IBM tag. You make parts for IBM. You don't just sit there and smoke cigarettes all day and sit in the lounge. You got to work because you work for IBM. So when you got hired by Jesus, you worked for Jesus, and you can carry out the authority of the president of the company. Hallelujah. And the president of IBM hired you and said, you're going to be the vice president. Sit beside me. You just take the paycheck and go sit beside him. Amen. And the president of Walmart called you up and said, I just hired you to be the vice president of Walmart. So first of all, we got to find out all the different duties of Walmart. Amen? All the rules, all the benefits, all the privileges. Say privileges. Jesus died to give you some privileges. See, a lot of time a benefit is not a privilege. I know I got health insurance, but I don't need it. I don't get sick too often. Amen? I don't just wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm sick. Let me go use that benefit. So we're looking for a privilege instead of a benefit. What are the privileges of being a Christian? You don't get sick no more. You don't die no more. You don't die too early anyway. I know some folks die early. Amen? Some people, some even Christians drive too fast. God is dealing with me about driving too fast. Well, you'll kill yourself if you drive too fast. We are royal children. We are the king's children. We are. The Bible said God has made unto us kings and priests. We have been made royalty. Bow your heads in the presence of God. With every eye closed and every head bowed. There are people in this room that are sick in their body. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior.